church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation, peace and justice.
The church is in Africa, at the service of reconciliation.
This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. When someone falls ill and gets to the point where they are unable to eat, there is need to worry. This is because human beings need food in order to survive. Through the Eucharist, God presents himself to us as our spiritual food.
Seventeenth Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the second book of Kings. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing to Elisha, the man of God, 20 barley loaves made from the first fruits, and fresh grain in the ear. Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected. "How can I set this before 100 people?" Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord.
The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him, because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with the Sunday reflection, here is Father Enobong.
We are called to make available for the sustenance of others from the little we have. The little we share can save a life, can stop one from committing a crime, can give hope to the hopeless. For those who during these difficult times share the little they have with the needy, we say, please do not relent. Continue in your good works. For those who are yet to imitate the prophet Elisha and the little boy, the opportunity is here. Let us share the little we have, because we are all one in the Spirit, and we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of us all. And may the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts. Through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Robin Peary, Father Hilary Munyaneza, and Father Enobong Udoijo contributed to the program. My name, Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in now for our bulletin of church news.
I am Festus Tarawali. The Vatican Dicastery for the Laity, Family and Life has released the video prayer of Pope Francis for the first ever World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. The day will be marked worldwide on Sunday, the 25th of July. Robin Gomes reports.
I thank you, Lord, for the comfort of your presence. These are the opening words of the prayer released by the Vatican in a video for the first World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. Pope Francis leads the prayer in Spanish, and the rest is recited in French, English, Portuguese, and Italian by 21 grandparents and elderly men and women from around the globe, including four couples. The theme of the day is, I am with you always. Pope Francis starts the video prayer by thanking God for the comfort of his presence, which provides hope and confidence, even in moments of loneliness. The 84-year-old pontiff recalls that the Lord has been his rock and fortress since his youthful days. The rest of the elderly follow, expressing gratitude for the gift of the family and long life. They thank God for the time of renewed fruitfulness and ask him to make them a channel of his peace, teach them to embrace those who suffer more than them, never stop dreaming, and to narrate his wonders to the coming generations. After urging the Lord's blessing on the Pope and the Church that the light of the Gospel might reach the ends of the earth, the elderly pray for the renewal of the world so that the pandemic may end, the poor be consoled, and wars may cease. They ask the Lord to sustain them in their weakness and help them live every moment of life to the full until the end. In Rome, the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly will be celebrated with a morning mass in St. Peter's Basilica. It will be attended by some 2,000 elderly people and grandchildren of Rome Diocese and members of associations that work for the elderly. At the end of the mass, the young people present will offer the grandparents and the elderly a flower with the message of the Holy Father, I am with you always. Pope Francis first announced the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly on January 31st. It will be celebrated each year on the fourth Sunday of July, close to the feast of Saints Joachim and Anne, the grandparents of Jesus. The Pope has also released a message to grandparents and the elderly, in which he emphasized that the vocation of the third age is to guard the roots, transmit the faith to young people, and take care of the little ones. I am Robin Gomes.
The full prayer of Pope Francis for the day can be found on our web portal, vaticannews.va. In a post on Twitter on Saturday, Pope Francis said the Lord is always close to us through new invitations, new words, with his consolations. The Lord is eternal. He never ever retires, the Pope tweeted, ending with the hashtag, I am with you always. Meanwhile, the chairman of the Kenya Conference of Catholic Bishops has called on dioceses in the East African nation to plan for events marking the World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. In a statement, Archbishop Martin Kivuva Musonde of Mombasa said the purpose of this day is to convey to every elderly person that God and the Church are close to them, and also to emphasize international closeness between the young and the old. I write to call upon each archdiocese and diocese to plan initiatives to mark the event in a way best suited to their pastoral context. This World Day could be a great opportunity for coming together of grandparents and grandchildren, the young and the old, Archbishop Kivuva said. The statement further noted that the elderly face the risk of isolation and loneliness, and that the COVID-19 pandemic has predisposed them to more vulnerabilities. He reiterated Pope Francis' call on the Church to care for the elderly. The prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy has granted an interview to Vatican News in which he explains the Holy See's consolidated balance sheet. Father Juan Antonio Guerrero Alves said 2020 was a difficult year, but better than expected. The administration of the patrimony of the Apostolic See, or APSA, on Saturday also made public its balance sheet for the year 2020. Thaddeus Jones reports.
Last year marked a difficult year financially for the Holy See, affected by many of the same problems facing people and organizations around the globe, especially pandemic-related challenges. The Vatican's dicasteries, or offices, had to reduce significantly their spending, and compared to previous years, less funding from Peter's Pence went to subsidizing the dicasteries, which meant, as a result, more aid went to churches and countries affected by the pandemic. Peter's Pence is the fund that gathers proceeds from the annual collection when the faithful donate to assist the Pope in his pastoral ministry. The prefect of the Secretariat for the Economy, Father Juan Antonio Guerrero Alves, presented the details of the Holy See's consolidated balance sheet for 2020 in an interview by Vatican News published Saturday. In brief, he noted that the Holy See did better than what had been expected, but it was still not what you would call a good year. Before the pandemic hit, a projected budget deficit of 53 million euros was foreseen. When COVID hit, the revised projections for the deficit ran from 68 to 146 million euros in the red. In the end, the real deficit ended up being 66.3 million, much better than what had been forecast. The end result is relatively good news for the Holy See's finances, since these far more difficult outcomes were avoided, thanks to significant belt-tightening measures put in place to cushion the losses from income in all areas, whether from paid services offered or returns from investments. Here we're talking only about the Holy See's balance sheet. There are also those related to the government, or Vatican City-State, the Institute for the Works of Religion, or IOR, and many other entities of varying types and sizes associated with the Holy See. In related news, the Administration of the Patrimony of the Apostolic See, or APSA as it's called, made public for the first time its balance sheet for 2020, revealing decreased contributions to the Roman Curia and lower profits from investments. APSA's president, Archbishop Nuncio Galantino, says APSA had been able to help those in financial difficulty. He also gave an interview here to Vatican News released on Saturday. He noted that although income went down during the pandemic, there's still been some positive outcomes as difficulties have moved everyone to act together as a church. For all the details and transcriptions of both interviews, translated, of course, into English, just go to vaticannews.va. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
Fighting in Ethiopia's northern Tigray region has spilled over into the neighboring Afar region to the east, threatening one of the key supply routes into Tigray, according to reports. In a statement this week, the Catholic bishops of Ethiopia appealed for an end to the violence and for the parties in the conflict to choose the path of dialogue and reconciliation. They said violence is never a remedy for wrongs or a solution to a crisis. It saddens our hearts hearing about war, while we all would like to hear about peace and reconciliation, the members of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Ethiopia said. It is never too late to stop the violence, to acknowledge that the only way forward for the good of the people is peace and reconciliation, they wrote. The bishops expressed their closeness with those whose lives have been affected by the conflict, which began in November last year. They also expressed their solidarity with Bishop Abune Tesfeselassie Medhin of the Eparchy of Adigrat, the diocese that covers the Tigray region. During the Angelus on Sunday, the 13th of June, Pope Francis appealed for an end to the violence in Tigray and called for urgent aid to be sent to the region. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Sierra Leone's parliament voted unanimously on Friday to abolish the death penalty and replace the sentence with life imprisonment. President Julius Maada Bio is expected soon to sign the bill into law, which will make Sierra Leone the 23rd African country to abolish capital punishment. No one has been executed in the country since 1998, but prisoners sentenced to death still live separately from other inmates, which activists say is dehumanizing. As of June last year, 99 people were on death row for crimes ranging from aggravated robbery to murder. A panel of UN experts has said in a new report that Africa became the region hardest hit by terrorism in the first half of 2021 as Islamic State and Al-Qaeda extremist groups and their affiliates spread their influence across the continent. The extremist groups are boasting gains in supporters and territory and inflicting the greatest casualties, the experts noted in the report circulated to the UN Security Council on Friday. They said this is especially true in parts of West and East Africa, where affiliates of both groups can also boast growing capabilities in fundraising and weapons, including the use of drones. Several of the most successful affiliates of Islamic State are in its central and western province, while several of those of Al-Qaeda are in Somalia and the Sahel region, they said. They voiced concern that these terrorist affiliates are spreading their influence and activities, including across borders from Mali into Burkina Faso, Ivory Coast, Niger and Senegal, as well as incursions from Nigeria into Cameroon, Chad and Niger in West Africa. In the East, the activities of the affiliates have spread from Somalia into Kenya and from Mozambique into Tanzania, they said. They cited the storming and brief holding of Mozambique's strategic port of Mocimboa da Praia in Cabo Delgado province in March by an affiliate group of Islamic State as one of the most troubling events of early 2021. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. A soon-to-be-published report by the World Meteorological Organization says water-related hazards dominate the list of 10 most destructive disasters with the highest human losses in the past 50 years. The report, which will be published in September, is titled Atlas of Mortality and Economic Losses from Weather, Climate and Water Extremes, 1970 to 2019. The report finds that out of the 10 disasters causing the most human fatalities in the past 5 decades, drought topped the list with some 650,000 deaths across the globe. Storms caused over 577,000 fatalities, while floods led to more than 58,000 deaths. The report also finds that extreme temperatures claimed over 55,000 lives. The excerpts from the report were released as temperatures in parts of North America continue to rise and as unprecedented floods in North Central Europe and the Chinese province of Hainan continue to dominate news headlines. It estimates that of the top 10 events examined between 1970 and 2019, storms accounted for approximately $521 billion in economic losses, while floods accounted for about $115 billion. WMO Secretary General Petteri Tallas said weather, climate and water-related hazards are increasing in frequency and intensity as a result of climate change. He emphasized that no country is immune from such changes and that it is imperative to invest more in climate change adaptation, including by strengthening multi-hazard early warning systems. The Director General of the UN Food and Agriculture Organization has urged the G20 group of nations to invest in practices that promote a healthy planet for healthy food. Daniel Johnson of UN News has this report.
In his appeal on Thursday to G20 environment ministers, Qu Dongyu highlighted the challenge of having to produce more food while reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The FAO chief backed better water management measures to address water scarcity, which affects more than 1 billion people. Almost 1 billion hectares of rain-fed cropland and pastureland are also severely affected by recurring drought, said Mr. Qu, who insisted that these water-related challenges could be addressed with digital innovation, better oversight and investment. The FAO Director General also called for greater efforts to slow biodiversity loss. Reversing deforestation will help mitigate against climate change and reduce the risk of future disease outbreaks passing from animals to humans, said Mr. Qu, adding that the economic benefits of halting biodiversity loss and land degradation could amount to $1.4 trillion per year. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
Gabon recently became the first African country to receive payment for reducing carbon emissions by protecting its rainforest. The country received the first $17 million of a $150 million pledge from Norway under the UN-backed Central African Forest Initiative, or CAFI. The deal was struck in 2019. Gabon has launched a number of conservation schemes in recent years, including the creation of 13 national parks and a project to combat illegal logging. The UN Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO, has removed one of the Democratic Republic of Congo's nature reserves from a list of threatened sites. In a statement on Monday, the UN agency praised the country's conservation efforts and the government's commitment to ban prospecting for oil in Salonga, the country's largest public park. The World Heritage Committee cited improvements towards the park's conservation state in its decision. The statement said regular monitoring of the wildlife shows that populations of the bonobo ape remain stable within the territory despite past pressure, and that the forest elephant population is starting to come back. Inscribed in 1984 on the World Heritage List and in 1999 in the list of World Heritage in Danger, Salonga National Park is Africa's largest tropical rainforest reserve. The park, which is situated at the heart of the central basin of the Congo River, is very isolated and accessible only by water. And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, news about our environment. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Family. I am Festus Tarawali, and do join us then. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
All to Jesus I surrender. All.